0818-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Funny Friday from the Titanic, the Titanic Hotel in Belfast. Woo! Yes. Here we are. Okay. Rowdy crowd in, thank God, thank God. To welcome us here again is the great Tim McGarry. Give my head some peace. What else? You have a new TV series.
Blame Game, the long and the short of it, a whole lot of stuff, Joe.
Just non-stop, is it, Tim?
Non-stop.
Is there any beginning to your talent? So you're on television next week?
I'm on television next week with a brand new history show called The Long and the Short of It, a cross-community history show with an Orange man called David Hume. Okay. Tune in, 7:30, BBC One.
Will you welcome our Southern listeners?
I will indeed.
And acquaint them with the nuances of politics in Northern Ireland.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Joe Duffy Show and listeners all across Ireland, welcome to Belfast. Welcome to the United Kingdom. No, you're all very welcome in Belfast, ladies and gentlemen. Belfast is a chain city. I'm a child of the Troubles, ladies and gentlemen. I'm an old man. I remember the bad old days in Belfast. It's all changed, but I'm a child of the Troubles. I knew I was a child of the Troubles the first time I saw a glider bus in Belfast. I don't even see the glider bus. It's basically two purple buses glued together to make one big purple bus, right? And when that arrived in Belfast, the people of Belfast went, that's a fantastic new transport system, but I'm a child of the Troubles. I looked at the glider bus and I went, jeepers, you could make a brilliant barricade out of one of them boys. You set fire to one of them boys, you could block up a four-lane motorway for a day and a half. But we have a bad image. Belfast still has a bad image, ladies and gentlemen. We're the only part of the UK that makes Ukrainian refugees go, no, honestly, I'm okay where I am. But we are, we're a nice part as well. Belfast is a great city. I welcome you to Belfast because we're here in the Titanic Hotel beside the Titanic Museum, and that's what we do to visitors in Northern Ireland, especially visitors who have money, ladies and gentlemen. American investors arrive and we say to people in Northern Ireland, go right, everybody, pretend we're normal, okay? And we fly the visitors in, they fly into the George Best City Airport, right? Then they go on the Troubles tour, and then they get their photograph taken outside the Titanic Centre. Why? Because that's what the entire Northern Ireland economy is based on, ladies and gentlemen. An alcoholic footballer, the Troubles, and a ship that sank. That's our tour. The Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, was here recently, ladies and gentlemen, and he visited Linfield Football Club, and to commemorate his visit, Linfield Football Club gave him one of their shirts, and Linfield play in blue. They give Leo Varadkar a blue shirt. They give a blue shirt a blue shirt. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because, see, we don't know your politicians. Up here, we don't know your politicians. Down south, you don't know our politicians. And you are the lucky ones, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you the difference between northern politicians and southern politicians. If you vote to elect somebody to go to the Doyle, there's a good chance they might actually go to the Doyle. They might actually turn up. Northern politicians. Oh, we elect them to storm in and go turn up and do the job I'm elected to do and very well paid to do. No, I do not think so, ladies and gentlemen. Our assembly building, Stormont Parliament Buildings, is lying empty, ladies and gentlemen. It is emptier than Ryan Tuberty's diary. No, it's a massive building too. Seriously, if the Southern government took Stormont and brought it down south, you could literally solve the housing crisis overnight, ladies and gentlemen. This is true. And the thing about it is, this is genuine. We spend millions and millions on an empty assembly. The Northern Ireland Assembly genuinely makes the National Children's Hospital look like good value for money. And in fact, the Children's Hospital and the Assembly, very similar, when both of them up are running, both of them will be full of crybabies. And why is the Assembly empty? It's because of the Democratic Unionist Party, the DUP. Some Southerners, you may not know the DUP. The DUP are the people who backed Brexit. They backed Boris Johnson. They backed Liz Truss as Prime Minister. Seriously, if the DUP tell you to back a horse in a one-horse race, By the second furlong, that horse will be in a lasagna, ladies and gentlemen. That is the standard of our politicians, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. I'll see you later on. Thank you.
Jimmy Gary. Where is Liam McCluskey? Liam, you were talking to me earlier on. What was the name of the ballroom you were talking about, Liam?
Castle Ballroom.
And where's the Castle Ballroom?
Dungiven, County Derry.
And did you dance in it much?
Hi, a brother and a cousin of mine used to own it. All the big show bands all played in it.
Go away.
Including Tom Jones.
Tom Jones?
Yep. And his hit record that time was The Green, Green Grass of Home.
Yeah. And Delilah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Brendan Boyer.
Yeah.
Dickie Rock, Joe Dolan.
Yeah.
By Tom and the Mainliners. Brian Call.
God, you have a great memory. And many would fit into the Castle Ballroom in Dungiven.
One Easter Sunday night, Eileen Reid and the Cadets played, and there were 3,300 people went through the door.
What?
Yeah.
And many came in through the window.
And
what was the capacity at all?
Well, they weren't all in at the one time. There were different ones, you know. And
do you remember what the number one was in Sorry, come back to
you. Her hat record at that time was I Give My Wedding Dress Away.
Do you remember that song? Does anyone remember that song? Wasn't it the cruelest song ever written? Ivan, can you play it? No, I gave my wedding dress away. Because you know why she gave her wedding dress away? Did you listen to the words that night, Liam, or were you courting?
No, I didn't listen to the words.
Were you looking to try and get someone into a wedding dress?
No, I was... No.
Were you looking to try and get someone out of a wedding dress?
I was working. I worked in it, in the dance hall.
Okay. The words of the cruelest song ever written, I gave my wedding dress away. Tomorrow was to be my wedding day, but I gave my wedding dress away. Another will be holding my bouquet. Sad verse. So I gave my wedding dress away. My baby sister wanted him. The wagon. My baby sister wanted him, so she took my place. It's worth a broken heart to see the smile upon her face. Her face. And what was she doing when the younger sister was mooching with our boyfriend? I cared for my mother and her since mother went away. So she's looking after the mother. And the baby sister's looking after the boyfriend. That gets worse. Everything I ever wanted, she always wanted to, and maybe giving it to her was not the thing to do. I always let her have her way. Oh, big mistake between two sisters. Perhaps I wasn't strong, but I was still all she had to turn to when anything went wrong. I would have told her to get out of the house. She's all I have to live for. Wait for this. She's very forgiving. She's all I have to live for. She's the only joy I ever had. And though she's hurt me many times, she really isn't bad. I saw the love light in her eyes the day she met my Jim. Jim was the name. I saw the love light in her eyes the day I met my Jim. Then I knew that he belonged to her and she belonged to him. If I could win him back again... It's very sad. If I could win him back again... She's the only joy I ever had. And though she's hurt me many times, I'm glad I gave my wedding dress away. But, final line about Jim. You know Jim is now her brother-in-law. Yesterday he's going to be the husband. Now he's a brother-in-law all of a sudden. I'd worship him, Jim, until my dying day, but I gave my wedding dress away. Terrible. Terrible. There's a one-night B&B, Liam, Talbot Hotel collection. There is another for the person beside you that was laughing, even though it wasn't funny. There's another... what's your own name? Talk to me.
Deirdre Butler from Kells and County Mead. I'm coming 60 now very soon, and I'm after getting two new hips in Our Lady's Hospital in Navan.
And is there a hip for everyone in the audience?
There's a hip for everyone in the... in the audience. What do you think of there was?
I thought you were going to say, what do you think of me hips? I can't see them from here. I'm a married man.
Why does a golfer wear a second pair of trousers?
Now, why does a golfer wear a second pair of trousers?
Just in case there's a hole in one.
Your name is Deirdre Butler.
Deirdre Butler.
And what do you do in real life, Deirdre, apart from going around getting new hipsters?
Oh, sure, I go round and meet people and everyone knows me. I'm known in Kells and County Mead as the local Kells ambassador.
Okay.
I raise over...
You're the Book of Kells.
I'm the Book of Kells. And everyone knows. I'm even the president of Ireland even knows me. Michael D. Higgins writes to me. Yeah.
What's he say to you?
Oh, he said I'm a great girl. He said I shall go for president next year, 2024.
Sure, but then you'd have two more new hips, new pair of knees.
Yeah,
you'd be fine. And so, when did you head to Belfast? When did you decide to go?
I went this morning on the quarter seven bus. I got the bus to Dublin and I got the train out to Belfast. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, well, it's great to see you here, Deirdre. Fair play to you. Yeah. There.
Nice journey.
There's a one-night stay into Titanic Hotel in Belfast here. There's a one-night stay here, including breakfast for the two of you, yeah. And then I have... Where's Barbie? Where's my Barbie script?
I have it here.
Oh, you have it there, have you, Barbie? I'm like Ken. But you all, and many went to see the Barbie movie. Ah, the Barbie movie. Me and my daughter, you know the two movies were at the same time, Oppenheimer and Barbie, and I said, I'll bring you to the pictures, because she was going away. And so we were fighting over which of the two of them to go to. And she was arguing this, and I was arguing that, and she was arguing, I got quite rough. And eventually I had to put my foot down. I said, hang on, Ellen, I'm paying for the tickets. So I got me way. I thought the Barbie movie was brilliant. I can't wait to see the Oppenheimer one. Oh, Barbie!
Hiya!
Barbie!
How's it going?
What do I say? No, it's a great success. It's Barbie's here today. You are... What's this word? Oh, you're a real doll.
Yeah, well, you're not your man, Ryan Gosling, can I tell you? But I heard you're a bit of an action man, Joe.
Oh, I've never seen a Barbie like you before.
Well, take it all in, now that I'm here, baby.
Are you sporty Barbie?
No.
Are you... Princess Barbie?
No.
Well, which Barbie are you?
I'm called Something Went Wrong in the Mold, Barbie.
Well, could I be your Ken?
No, you're Joe.
But I could be Ken.
You must be Joe Ken. Did you see what I did there?
Hiya, Barbie.
Who are you?
I'm Cool Ken. Wanna go for a ride?
The only Ken I'm interested in is Heineken. The state of them. I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world, made of plastic and looking drastic. I can get them done, me clothes are all glued on. No clothes hanger, I am just a scanger. I'm a Barbie girl who hasn't sold so well, a plastic figure whose box is bigger. If the truth be told, wrong in the mold, a lot of plastic, knicker elastic. Yeah, they say life no joy for a badly made toy. I've knocked knees, bad hips and angina. I am stiff, you can see I am all DBC. On my ass, you can see made in China. What a touch, wanna play, you just try.
Go party.
Ooh, oh, ooh, oh.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
Yeah.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
Ooh, oh, ooh, oh. I can walk, but can't bend, just to pull up me socks. And me hips are in fit by being stuck in me box. Help me in, help me out, let us head into town. Hit the spot, do some shots, and get langered. Wanna touch? What a play. Clothes are all glued on.
don't get lost. You're melting me head. Look more like Ken Barlow.
That's the wonderful June Rogers. And remember, she's getting ready already for our Christmas show, which will be in Taylor's Tree Rock from the day after St. Stephen's Day, 27th to the 34th of December in Taylor's Tree Rock. We're going to do that now, no charger. What's your own name?
Claire.
Oh, Claire, sorry, I meant to trip in. And Claire, you see, as Groucho Marx said, I never forget a face. But in your case, I'm going to make an exception. Because when you came in here today, I recognised you, because you were here in February. Doc, where's Doc? February? Doc? Sorry. Did I wake you up, Doc? I'm sorry, I know it's the 24th of February. You were here, weren't you, Claire?
Yeah, 219. Yeah.
219, yeah. How loud, and look at the world. Look what's happened since. I remember 219, we came up here.
We all survived.
There was no storm in sitting at 219 either. So nothing, little has changed. We've been through a pandemic. You've written a poem in a low effort to try and get free tickets or something.
Absolutely.
In Dublin. I know. Go ahead. It better be good now, Claire. And you want to stand up and put some oomph in it, please. Stand up when you're ready. Thank you very much. I love your Crocs. What colour are they?
They're lime green and comfy.
Yeah, and you never get knocked down wearing them, I tell you. Anyway, here you go, Claire. It's called?
This is called The Mouth from the South, an ode to Joe. The Joe Duffy Show has come north of the border. Some say, about time and proper order. They based themselves in the iconic Titanic. We'll give them a welcome that's only gigantic. Ooh! We have the Lagan up here that runs through the city, and everyone knows the girls are dead pretty. We have Baps, and we have Shaps, and we have Georgie Best, the world's best footballer with whom we're obsessed. There's lots to see and do up here, and Harp is a favourite Nordy's beer. There's spectacular scenery on the Antrim coast, but the sight we love to see the most is the Giants Causeway at Ballintoy, and not forgetting Rory McIlroy.
Hey.
Joe is our voice, our man at the top, solving our problems. He's a one-man shop. From stolen tools to landlord spats, even to Fibsborough's super-sized rats. From Brexit chaos to adoptive reunions, to who to invite to your holy communions. He can talk with the best of them. That can't be denied. After Trinity College, he's well qualified. But I'm addled and sad, and my head is fried, because I know that he's married and I can't be his bride. We thank you, Joe, for the job that you do. We'd be up the Swanee if it wasn't for you. We'd be wearing our pyjamas on top of our clothes, and who's right, who's wrong? God only knows. But I hope one day the team will come back so we can have more Keolacus crack. So don't be a stranger. You know where we are. And really, Belfast isn't that far. I'll end it here and finish this ditty, for it's time for you to leave our city. So on your bake, as they say in these parts, happy knowing there's love in your heart.
Ah, well done, Claire. Claire, you're going to see The Lion King, starring Donald Trump. Together. The Lion King in the Borgosh Energy Theatre. Brilliant tickets. There, Stephen, it was your birthday recently, you were telling me earlier. And you're from?
Ballyfermot.
And you came up here today.
Always come to the show. Always come, yeah.
And you're one of the few people who comes to the show when it's not on.
True, yeah. I was up here a couple of weeks ago. I didn't hear it was cancelled.
And you sat here until 3 o'clock and you realised it wasn't on, Stephen. Okay. You're going to Mortar in the Dark in the Gaiety. There, that man there. Would you like to go to the Gaiety in Dublin? There you are, to Mortar in the Dark. And what about Mary Hughes, Mortar in the Dark and the Gaiety? Do you know anyone in Dublin that'd put you up for the night?
Barbie.
Okay, where's Declan? Declan, back to school.
No charge. Now, my little boy came up to me in the kitchen last evening as I was getting the dinner prepared, and he handed me a piece of paper he got from school. After I got over the initial shock, I read it again, and this is what it said. Your child's back-to-school book list and accessories. He had made a few additions himself. For all the usual books each year, with a couple of pages changed slightly so that his older brother's books are useless, €185. For a new atlas, thanks to the addition of some little unknown country in the butt end of the Balkans that needs to be added, €15. For a new dictionary, because 6 new words have been added since last year, including chillax, staycation, bromance and cheeseball, €9.99. For all the times he'll be drawing triangles and squares and going off on tangents, a geometry set, €6. For preparing to represent his country at the Olympics one day, a new tracksuit with school logo, €30. For running around the field like a mad joke, new runners, €45. For all the colourful artwork he'll bring home to stick on the fridge, a pack of 200 felt-tip pens, €1.99, available in Aldi. And to keep his lunch fresh and to look cool, a Barbie and Ken lunchbox, €8.49. To cover the cost of photocopying, paper clips and staples, €50. And for the endless writing of essays, a pack of Biros, €3.99. And to hold all this crap, a new bag, €24.99. Also, for your voluntary contribution, no pressure, payable in 2 instalments, first one due next week, PS you didn't pay last year's, €250, total bill, €600.45. Well, I looked down at him standing there with a face on him, and I could have thrown up in the kitchen sink. I could see memories flashing back in my mind, so I took that piece of paper and I turned it over and I wrote, "For the years I got you to school on time, strapped into your booster seat, me like Lewis Hamilton, white knuckles on the steering wheel, waiting for the lights to turn green, no charge. For the times I collected you from school in a hurry because you gave the other kids chicken pox, no charge. For the evenings I stayed up with you trying to work out how many sheep the farmer would have if he sold 2/5 of his flock and still had 200 left, driving me mad, no charge. For all the nights I laid awake, dreading the thoughts of facing the school talent show again, no charge. For making sure you were fully toilet trained before you went near the place, no charge. For all the nut-free lunches because Tommy O'Reilly's face puffs up like a balloon if he even smells one, no charge. And for the privilege of having my son in your school, no charge. And as for free education, you can kiss my arse. And for that, there's no charge."
Are we ready? Declan Callis, Ulton Conlon, Micheál O'Connor, Rose Garden.
I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's gotta be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta live, so live and let live or let go. I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you won't find roses growing on stalks of clover. So you'd better think it over. Well, it's sweet talking, you could make it come true. I would give you the world right now on a silver platter. But what would it matter? So smile for a while and let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's gotta be a little rain sometime. I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Well, I could sing you a tune and promise you the moon, but if that's what it takes to hold you, I'd just as soon let you go. But there's one thing I want you to know. You better look before you leap, still waters run deep. There won't always be someone there to pull you out, if you know what I'm talking about. let's smile for a while, let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's gotta be a little rain sometime. I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's gotta be a little rain sometime.
Don Alton Conlon. Alton. Here we are. Before, I know we've a message coming through in the next minute or two from President Donald Trump. He couldn't be here. What's your own name?
Jeannie.
Jeannie. And you don't want to give me your second name for tax reasons?
No, Stuart. Yeah, Stuart. Yes.
And you're. Did you tell me you're in a relationship for 40 years? Who's that?
I think that's my mother.
That's your mother, Theresa Quinn. Okay. Well, there you're going to Rick Astley in the Three Arena, if you wish to go to Rick Astley in the Three Arena. And look at this. Weren't you hoping to go and see the Killers in London because you couldn't get tickets for Belfast? Okay. But because you're going to sing a song, 12 verses, right, from your difficult second album, Jeannie, you were going to the Killers tonight. That's the good news. You know, the bad news, I'm going with you. The Killers tonight in Belfast. What's the stadium called? The Vital? Is it the Kingspan Stadium? No, or something?
It's just on the Boucher
Road. Okay. There, enjoy. Do you want to say thanks?
Thank you so much. Oh, my God, Joe, thank you.
And now do you want to say it in English?
Amazing, thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Enjoy. Here, who likes Whitney Houston? Do you like Whitney Houston? Here, there you are. You're going to the bodyguard in the Bord Gáis in Dublin. And there, this woman here, whether she likes it or not, I know she will, you go down to the wonderful, glorious Gaiety Theatre in Dublin, and then there were none the Agatha Christie play. There you are. Thanks very much. Now, we were trying to get the American president on the line for nearly a week now. As you know, he faces... very uncertain. Was it 91 charges? 91 charges. But he's been waxing poetic in recent times about his trials and tribulations. We now have Donald Trump on the line from Mar-a-Lago reciting an ode he wrote himself. Incredible. That's incredible. It's terrific. It's absolutely terrific. Obviously inspired by the great poet John Keats. Have a listen to this.
My ode, based on my good friend John Keats. Ode to a Nightingale. Keats is a great guy, wonderful guy. Mine is called Ode to a Night in Jail, which quite frankly will never happen. My heart aches and a drowsy numbness pains my brain, as though of hemlock I had drunk. What's hemlock? Democrats looking for election gains. The whole thing really stunk. It's pure envy from that Biden lot. They're never happy in my happiness. But I'll triumph in victory against this nasty plot of indictments and fake news and rewrite lots of history. Listen to my supporters roar. I'm tasting a real win. I can't wait for 2024. For now I'll spend time on a golfing green and cool my heels in the deep earth while sensing victory to be seen. My mansion and those classified documents with boxes of them full to the brim. Files they say are governments, and for me the future's grim. They want me to fade away, dissolve and forget, and 91 charges, all unknown, I'm not weary, I won't fret. They want me to give up, to admit to lies, but I'll stay to my last golden hair and fight the FBI and government spies. It will all end in Democratic sorrow and Biden in despair. I'll prove the fake news, and victory is mine tomorrow. Away, away, for I will fight thee, not with court cases, all of which will be adjourned, but with unseen documents, though most of those have already burnt. I am ready for the battle. to take Biden off his throne. Gather round in your Make America Great Again hats. Let's see from where my victory's blown and inflict doom and gloom on Democrats. I cannot see how many followers are at my feet or hear their soft cries that warn me. But hush money to me is sweet. Just ask my good friend Stormy. My assets, their value, the stories are wild. Election interfering, Capitol Hill, classified documents, dodgy deals, stories made up by a child. 4 separate criminal cases, I'll know how good it feels when I drag it out for years and years through mistrials and appeals. I will travel many a time and have been half in love with wonderful Dunbeck. I go there now, still in my prime, and drink the black stuff by the keg. Now, more than ever, when my face is growing pale, the thoughts of the Oval Office and the White House, will I stay in Dunbeg? They'll never put me in a jail. 91 charges, it will be 92. I'll place a bet. When they find the black and white pudding, I smuggle in my private jet.
Talk to Joe on 0818-715-815. Talk to Joe on 0818-715-815.
And we're here in the Titanic Hotel in Belfast, and we met a woman earlier on. Her name is Maureen Donnelly. And Maureen, you have an incredible connection with where we're now standing.
Yes, my mother's uncle went down to Titanic. Wow. He was one of the crews. He used to put the coal into the fires in the engine room.
And what age was he?
He was 23 years of age, yeah.
And do you know his first name, or what was he?
All I know is Morland. I haven't got his first name. I tried to go outside to look for it, and I couldn't see the crew members on any of them there. Just see the old passenger names.
Okay. And that's very... And was he remembered in your family?
Yes. Very much remembered. My mother always spoke about him. She never met him, but she known of him, through her own mother, you know.
That's great. That's great to remember. Would you like to go, don't say no, to the Bloomfield Hotel? You and whoever you want to bring, that's in Mullingar. Yeah. Where are you living?
Dublin.
You'll make it off Stony Battle to Mullingar. It's only a stone's throw. and the Bloomfield House Hotel offers a perfect escape, combination of traditional Irish hospitality, elegant surroundings and modern facilities on the shores of Loch Ennell. Have a good rest. Have a good weekend. Yeah. That's Maureen Donnelly. Okay, we have a new guest here on Funny Friday. She stars with Tim McGarry. In fact, she outstars Tim McGarry on The Blanket. That's all I'm talking about. Am I right, Diona?
I wouldn't say that in front of him, but if he wasn't in the room, yeah.
Diona Doherty, you're very welcome to Funny Friday.
Yeah, my name's Diona. People often pronounce it wrong, though I do get like Diana, Donna, homewrecker. My mum and dad made it up, you see, so there is some confusing situations sometimes. Like, I used to work in a nightclub in Belfast, and one night, Gaz from Geordie Shore was in doing a personal appearance, and I'm looking at this audience thinking, you don't know who Gaz from Geordie Shore is, but all you need to know is a celebrity with a Geordie accent, all right, for this joke to work. So he was in doing a personal appearance, and my manager brought him over to the front desk where I worked to introduce him to me. He was like, Gaz, this is Diona. And Gaz, in his Geordie accent, his response to my manager saying, this is Diona, was, Viona. How come you're sitting down here in a tracksuit then if you're the owner? Nah, mate, just the owner. I had a wee baby recently. Yeah, thank you. 3-month-old baby, and the pregnancy was awful. For anyone who's been pregnant, you'll know it was like, I was swollen all the time, sick, had headaches, felt dizzy, nauseous, just awful, awful, awful. Your body aches, it's brutal. But at least I now know how my husband feels when he has the cold. I met my husband around 12 years ago. It actually took me ages to find my husband. Had to kiss a few frogs in the process, or as we like to call them in Derry, cousins. Yeah, I'm so married, I have to use Facebook Marketplace as my Tinder. I'll be on there on a Saturday night. I'll get all dressed up. I'll have a glass of wine in my hand, and I'll take a real stunning photograph of an electric radiator. and I'll pop it up there for sale. And a few weeks ago, some guy, Marcus, messaged me. Is this still available? Marcus, you big flirt. I was like, yes, it's still available. Hot stuff. The radiator, I mean, player. It was like, market sold, I'm on my way. And that is how I met my husband. Oh. That's a lie. It's not. Made that up. It's not how I met him. My husband actually has three sons. Do you approve of relationships? So I'm a stepma. Any step-parents here? No, because you're allowed to have fun. You are? Yeah, I've got three step-sons. So the youngest actually went back to school yesterday, and I was looking through all his wee school books, and he had to write a wee bio about himself, and it was like his favourite food and his favourite colour and his favourite song. And beside his favourite song, he'd written the word Stenaline. I was like, mate, that is a boat. He's like, it's not, it's a song. And I was like, well, sing it then. And he genuinely went, Stenaline, Stenaline. Like, that is a cracking wee tune. We do this really fun thing with my stepsons at home as well. We do 30 seconds of bad talk. You should do it with any kids you have at home. It's hilarious. We let them curse and say any bad things they want for 30 seconds. It's really funny. Nobody gets in any trouble. It's great. So we release for them. But the youngest one's still quite innocent, so he doesn't really want to say all the bad, bad stuff yet. So his 30 seconds will sound like, you know, poo-poo head, farty face, and F off back to Derry. You're not my real ma. I hate you. I don't know where he gets it from. It's so cute. Thank you very much. My name's Una Doherty. Have a great day.
That was Diona Doherty from Derry. Well, let's go from Derry to Kerry. To the Healy Rays. I'd like to welcome here in Belfast, Michael and Danny Healy Ray.
How are you?
How are you doing, y'all?
Yeah, look, I tell you, lads, you look very well rested. I was going to say after your summer holidays, but the doll is still on the summer holidays. And congratulations, by the way, this is my first opportunity, on your successful campaign to allow married women to compete in the Rose of Tralee.
Yes,
well done. Yeah, great campaign.
We won that one after many, many years of
I know that.
Strong campaigning.
This is the first time this year that married women took part. Can I ask, what prompted you, Danny, to champion the cause of married women in the Rose of Tralee?
The wife, Joe. Every single time we'd be watching Dahi interviewing the Roses, and they might be singing a song or doing a bit of gaily dancing, or God forbid, reciting one of their endless poems. My one would be saying, sure, I could do that better than her. Why can't I be on that?
I know. Well done in resolving what's obviously a very, very serious issue down in Kerry. Michael, did you do anything else exciting over the summer?
Well, I tell you, God's honest truth now, we spent a lot of time down there bailing water out of the snug and the back bar. And after the constant rain we had, I was in Wellington boots the whole of July and August. Global warming, if I hears that green crowd again mentioning overheating or greenhouse gases or methane, we had so much rain in Kerry this year that any minute I expected Noah and his ark to come sailing around the corner.
Well, in fairness, I presume one of the highlights of the summer for the people in Kerry was going to Croke Park to watch your county being narrowly beaten by Dublin in the All-Ireland.
Here we go again. Oh, there
you. What did they say? Do you know, Michael, on the way up, what did they say?
Duffy wouldn't be able to help himself. He'd have to get a good dig in about the All-Ireland. He can't help it.
That's right. We knew you wouldn't be able to resist slagging us off.
We knew
about the All-Ireland.
Oh, you're all cracked, Duffy, aren't
you? And you wouldn't mind, but we missed it. We didn't get there at all.
No.
And sure, if you reads the papers
or followed the news,
you'd know that we were over in America giving Donald Trump a dig out and helping him in any way we could.
With his big fight with illegal battles.
Hang on. Donald Trump is surrounded by a bevy of high-end lawyers, advisors, attorneys, consultants.
As Donald Trump said to me one day, and I having a game of golf with him around outside of Florida, Fort Lauderdale, was it?
That's it.
You drove us down. He said to me, Donald says to me, look, when the shit really hits the fan, didn't the overpaid lawyers you need, but two cute Kerry buckos
who've been blackguarded.
That's true.
Pilloried.
That's true.
And ostracized.
That's true.
By their own media in their own country that won't leave us alone any minute of the night or day, Denny.
Hang on. What practical help did you offer President Trump? What advice did you give, the two of you give him in the midst of his legal woes?
Oh, we told him plain and straight. We said, get rid of all your fancy liars. To keep your mouth shut, keep your trousers pulled up, and keep your hands to yourself.
And hang on, where did you stay when you were in Florida with Donald Trump? I mean, I heard everything you read is very, very expensive down there.
Very expensive, but you don't think we'd be paying for it? We stayed in Mar-a-Lago, of course.
Mar-a-Lago? You stayed there?
We did.
That must have been amazing.
Yeah, that is nothing that we haven't seen before down our own neck of the woods.
That's true.
I tell you now, Joe, Mar-a-Lago could do with a visit from Francis Brennan.
And the brother.
Jesus, the place. The place is fierce and tidy. The room now that myself and Michael were sharing, it was
littered
with papers and documents of every kind. Classified, top secret,
highly
confidential, FYEOs.
FYEOs? What are they, FYEOs?
Do you know why I thought you'd be up to speed on that? FYEOs, for your eyes only.
Ah.
Yeah. And which reminds me, we had Melania for dinner a few nights with Donald, like, you know, and we're advising him. And she was boring into Denny with those strange almond-shaped eyes of hers.
She was.
Like lasers, weren't they, Denny?
They were.
She was boring into Denny.
She was hot.
She was coming on to you, Denny. She was. Straight and plain. Tell him out straight.
What, she was definitely coming on to me.
And Denny was kind of, you know yourself, Denny was kind of gimbal.
Oh, gimbal I was.
Yeah, he was. You would know, Denny now wouldn't be used to that kind of attention, like, well, not since, you know, in time in the Glen Eagle and the discos back in the 80s, like.
Well, as
but Denny
said,
was gimbal, all right, for
I was, and she was definitely coming on to me around the pool. She was going on about my rugged good looks.
She was, your hairy,
hairy chest on me, she said.
About your hairy chest.
And good honest agriculture. Smell off you, she said. I knew it was time to pack our bags when she knocked on our bedroom door at about 2:30.
You're going down a different road. She knocked on your bedroom door.
She did.
At 2:30 in the morning.
And did she say anything?
Oh, well, she did.
Did?
What did she say?
She said, well, no, Joe, look, I can't do her voice good now at all, but Michael could give a shot of it.
We'll have a lash off it anyway. What she said to Denny was, she looked at Denny with them eyes again, and she said, Denny, in this kind of a Slovenian accent, she said, Denny, do you want the super sex? And I says to myself, I hopped up straight away and I says, he'll take the soup. So with all that crack on, aren't we damn glad to be home out
again?
Damn glad to be home.
And when all is said and done, Neil ain't in town, mother ain't.
Okay, now you're back home. You're back home. Has it been a good year with tourists down in Kilgarvan?
Good year,
you run off your feet.
It was never worse.
Ah, yeah.
If you saw the crowd now, that board falter sending down, it was most of them arriving on
bikes.
And if they're not vegan or vegetarian, they're lactose intolerant.
Or gluten-free, Denny.
That's right. We're demented from. We had to completely rewrite the menu that my father made up
in 1961.
God rest him.
It was a very, very simple menu, and no one complained about it for 40 years. Minestrone soup, bacon and cabbage, and sherry trifle. And, you know, we're scalded altogether from the French crowd. Jeez, we're getting an awful doing altogether from the French crowd. They're looking for fancy stuff time they come in. They're
fancy
looking for fancy stuff.
What type of fancy stuff?
Well, one of them came up to me the other night and he was looking for something. What was it called again, Michael?
A thing called mayonnaise.
Here is a site where we've nothing like that in that line of down here.
No.
This is Kilgarvan, this is like. And if you want anything that fancy, but you better go over to Francis Brennan in Kinmare.
down here, we deal with people who have their dinner in the middle of the day. And who can't see each other across the table.
With the height of the spuds. As the song goes. Maestro.
You can keep your old Jalfrezi,
chop suey and onion badgies, chorizo and durian crispy duck. We don't have caramels or kebabs, chow mein or tofu slabs.
And wraps are what we use to keep us warm.
Keep us warm!
Well done, boys. Well done. Doc Savage, Doc.
Oh, it's great to be back in Belfast. Everybody happy, yes? Yeah. Tim McGarty was talking earlier. I was just saying, you know the difference between Stormont and Santa Claus? Santa Claus is working. Which is true. Now, there was a plane going out at Shannon to Boston, right? And they were an hour out of, just heading for Boston, and the crew come on and said, this is a mistake that's been made. There's 200 passengers on the plane, but we only have food for 85 people. You see? So, they said, if anybody wants to forego the meal, you can have free drink all the way to Boston. And 2 hours later, the crew came back on and said, we still have 85 meals. What's the difference between a house and a home? A house is where you live, and a home is where your kids are going to put you. Am I right? Yeah.
Sure.
Two women into a police station one day. They're both standing at the desk of the police station. Two of them were there. And what are you here for, women? And both of them said, our husbands are missing. The first one said, my husband's missing. The other one said, my husband is missing. You see? So the first said to the first woman, what's your husband like? What does he do? Well, he's a lazy... he sits at home. He won't do any work. He drinks. He goes back on horses. He comes home late. He goes missing. He's no use. And the one said to the other woman, said, what's your husband like? Well, he's pretty good. He does all the washing, looks after the kids, makes the beds, takes care of the house. And then the policeman, what do we do? And the first woman said, we look for her husband. Now imagine the end of the world has arrived. Imagine the judgment day. Can you imagine that? There's billions of people there. And God came out. And she said, well, God could be a woman. God said, all the men who are handpicked by your wife during your lifetime, stand over here. And there's 87 billion men over here. 87 billion men on one side. And said, all the men who were never handpicked by your wife, stand on the other side. And there's one fella in Belfast on his own. And God said, why are you standing there on your own? He said, my wife told me to stand there. you have to laugh. And I was just thinking to myself here, I saw a survey a couple of weeks ago in the paper that was saying, people, what's your biggest fear in life, right? What's the biggest... And the number one fear that people had was public speaking, right? And the second fear was death. Now, the logical conclusion then is, if you're at a funeral, you'd rather be in the coffin than giving the eulogy. Am I correct? Yeah. Well, I went to the doctor one day, am I going too fast? No. Well, I went to the doctor one day, the doctor examined me and said, you were here a couple of weeks ago. He said, I was. He said, well, you wrote me a check a few weeks ago to pay me. I said, I did. And the doctor said, well, the check came back. And the man said, so did my arthritis. You know, now, there's a fellow in the hospital one day, and the doctor said to him, you know the way doctors, when they're talking to you, they never speak directly, they speak over you, am I correct? Yeah? And the doctor said to him...
they always speak over you.
They always speak over you. They write down as they're talking to you. He said, you have something very rare. I said, what have I got? See, a hospital bed.
Doc Savage, we'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And there's your tickets for Dirty Dancing in the 3 Arena. And one person is glad that the kids are back in school is Sharon Mannion. Sharon!
Yeah. just got back today. Those wild-eyed kids that have been away. I've been queuing at the school gate since 8:05. 'Cause, man, they've been driving me crazy. They've done all the summer camps and still want more. If you're looking for me today, I'll be drinking gin off the floor. My phone's on silent, they're the teacher's problem now. I hope the long holidays are worth it. The kids are back in school, kids are back in school. I said the kids are back in school, my kids are back in school. Teachers all hiding down in the staff room. Some of them have been in Santa Ponza since June. Miss Nareen looks shaky, she's not up to much. She's forgotten how to teach the Mokini look. That's my kid there bouncing heads off a wall. I didn't realize that middle one had got quite so tall. His jumper don't fit and his shoes are too tight. His dad was to buy the uniforms, but he doesn't give a... The kids are back in school, kids are back in school. I said the kids are back in school, my kids are back in school. Spread the word around. All the parents are having a nagging down at the football ground. But Billy's not welcome and neither is Jake, 'cause they've already been talking about the midterm break. The kids are back in school, kids are back in school. Back in school, my kids are back in school. Yeah!
Well done, Sharon Mannion. John, thanks, Sharon. But John Hughes in the audience. John, come up here for a sec if you would, please. You look fine, healthy, hearty young man. John, God, look at that. You can hardly walk. How are you, John?
I'm good.
Well, you might have heard yesterday on the programme I mentioned Crilly Sweets in Newry.
Yes.
Yeah, you might have heard. And I only mentioned them twice, and they're after sending me up a big box of rhubarb custard suckies and cough drops and menthol drops. And I just want to, I thought that was very generous of them, just because I mentioned Crillies twice. I want to take this opportunity of mentioning the new Toyota Lexus Jeep. It's hybrid, plug-in hybrid. It's gorgeous. Just in case you didn't hear, the new Toyota Lexus Jeep. Hybrid automatic in grey. In grey, it's only beautiful. John, would you go around there and give sweets for... I think there's one for everyone in the audience.
Okay.
There we go. Tim McGarry. What about Tim McGarry?
You all right, Joe?
All right, Bri. How are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying myself, thanks.
Good, lad. How do you do it, Tim?
How do I do it?
Yeah, just you're full of... Like, when we met earlier outside, where two of us were having a little G&T, and you were full of witty lines and jokes, and what happened just since? Tim McGarry, ladies and gentlemen!
Thank you, Joe.
And by the way, it was great to see the Healy Rays here earlier on. Didn't understand a bloody word they said, but... and the Healy Rays, our politicians in the North genuinely make the Healy Rays look like Winston Churchill and JFK. But anyway, listen, it's great to be on RT, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know, by the way, I know you're having a bit of a crisis down in RT. Don't panic. The fee I'm getting today is not very big. It would not require a Doyle committee to look at the fee I'm getting today. The fee I'm getting today wouldn't buy me a pair of flip-flops, ladies and gentlemen. And BBC Northern Ireland, we took pity on RTE. We knew there was a crisis in RTE, so we said to her, we'll trump that Stephen Nolan, ladies and gentlemen. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the South, I know I've made a mistake because you do not know who Stephen Nolan is, you jammy sods. And that's because, ladies and gentlemen, there's a cultural difference between the North and the South. Partition has worked, ladies and gentlemen. Even culturally, unionists are worried about a united Ireland. They shouldn't worry about a united Ireland. It's Southerners who should worry about a united Ireland, because the Nordies are going to take over. We've already had President Mary McAleese. The Garda Commissioner is Drew Harris. Patrick Keelty is going to do the late, late Joe. Oh... I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you know it's game over when Joe Duffy is replaced by Joe Brawley. And can I tell you, do not worry about Patrick Keelty on the Late Late Show. He's going to be brilliant. You'll hardly notice the change at all. He's going to be brilliant. I know that because in the first show, he's hired me. Me, Jimmy Nesbitt, Ian Paisley, Rory McIlroy, the East Belfast Protestant Boys Flute Band. And just to lighten things up a bit, Van Morrison. Yeah, Patrick Keely, he's going to scrap the toy show and replace it with Christmas in Cross MacLean. Well, see, we are different. The North is different from the South. We're different from England, of course, which is completely different. All I have a brother-in-law who's English. Not his fault, right? He rang me the other day. He said, Tim, see in England, he said, we're still very divided about Brexit. He said, 7 years on, we're still very, very divided about Brexit. I said, Matt, I tried to comfort him. I said, Matt, don't you worry, mate. See in Northern Ireland, we haven't got over the result of the Battle of the Boyne 1690. I said, that's 333 years ago. You strap yourself in, my friend. I'm not a fan of Brexit, I'll be honest with you. You know, I think Brexit's the stupidest thing any nation did to itself since the Trojans went, what a lovely wooden horse, bring that in, that'll look great. Some people compare Brexit to the Titanic, not a bit of it. The Titanic was an accident. If you compare Brexit to the Titanic, it's like the captain of the Titanic smashing the ship into the iceberg deliberately, keep reversing it, smashing it into the iceberg again and again while screaming at the top of his voice, I'm taking back control of the Atlantic. It's madness.
Brilliant, brilliant.
The only good thing about Brexit is the protocol, ladies and gentlemen. It's actually, shh, whisper it quietly. It's working. Businesses don't mind it. You know, the rest of the UK are jealous of the protocol. And best of all, it's annoying the hell out of the DUP. The people who did most to bring you Brexit are complaining about the results of Brexit. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Northern Ireland.
And before we go into the break, the President, Michael D. O'Connor-Hearn, is normally with us, but he can't. But he has sent us this message from the Electric Picnic before the break.
Greetings, Joe, from Electric Picnic. I'm sorry that I can't be with you in Belfast, but it has never stopped raining since I arrived here. I cycled down from Orris and looked around, and I towed a wheelbarrow with me, just for my tent and my PJs and my toothbrush in it and everything. Set up my tent and decided to have a nap. And when I woke up, Joe, and went outside, there was the wheelbarrow gone. It had been stolen. And I wouldn't mind, Joe, but it was an electric wheelbarrow. But I have nobody to blame but myself. I left the keys in the ignition. Joe, I hadn't eaten since the morning, so I was starving. And I went to one of these restaurants, these fast food outlets, and ordered a T-bone steak and mushrooms and onions. It was €45 for the T-bone steak. And if you wanted meat on it, it was another €15. I must have been given magic mushrooms instead of the ordinary mushrooms. And as soon as I went back to the tent, Joe, and lie down, I started halogenating or hallucinating or whatever you want to call it. There was nothing but bright lights all over the top of the tent. I'd say it was the Aurora Borealis I was looking at, and I wouldn't mind, Joe, by coincidence. I was living next door to Alice. And suddenly I just fell asleep. And hussy may egg dream all, Joe. And I dreamt that I had met the Healy Rays at Electric Picnic, and they were in great spirits, and they were cock-a-hoop. My God, because you see, this Boundary Commission with responsibility for redressing constituencies for the next year election had added 8 more seats to the constituency of Kinmare and County Kerry, where the Healy Rays had come from. Or the Kinmare constituency had been redrawn into Kinmare North Central, Kinmare, I think, South Central, Kinmare North South Central, Kinmare Very Central, and Kinmare Not So Very Central. The Healy Rays won 9 out of the 8 seats that were available, and Danny Healy Ray had become Taoiseach. There was great celebrations. Oh, Joe, I'm so looking forward to the weekend and going to rip it up and have a great time. I just love techno music. I can't wait to meet Billie Eilish and Niall Horan. I think he must be something to James Horan. And the Killers, they are going to be played. Oh, I love the Killers. They'll be probably going back to Portlaoise after it's finished. And then that other fellow, what do you call him? Paul Nutella. I think his father invented chocolate spread. I am going to rip it up for the weekend and have a wonderful time here at Electric Picnic.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Sewn up.
Look at that guy, see him strut. Hard as nails, his collar turned up. He has it
all sewn up.
He has it
all sewn up.
Suit pressed tight, shoes always shine. Hair slick back, $1 million smile.
All sewn up.
He has it all sewn up.
Sewn up.
All sewn up, neat at the seams, but it's not reality. We all live in dreams. Read about that girl, always on my feet. Bottom of the pond, sure to succeed. She has it all sewn up. She has it all sewn up. All sewn up, neat at the seam. She's the cat that got the cream, grooms incessantly. Cool, keen and tough, or lean, mean and rough. My song's the winner by a good furlong. Everybody sings it, everybody knows that it's true. My mama says it, and my daddy too. Alton has a tan out in L.A. The fool got a selfie with Shawn Mendes. He has it all sewn up.
Sewn up.
He has it all sewn up.
Sewn up.
A 10-minute set at the hotel cafe. Flanny won't respond to the last email. All sewn up.
Sewn up.
I bet you think it's all sewn up.
Sewn up. Up.
All sewn up, neat at the seams, but it's not reality. We all live in dreams. Cool, keen and tough. Oh, lean, mean and rough.
Well done.
Thank
incredible.
You.
Alton. Alton Conlon and Micheál Gutamila Mahagud. Three sisters here. Oh, by the way, on backing as well there, we've Ivan McCann, and Ivan is currently rehearsing with Angus McInerney for his nationwide tour of his Christy Hennessy show, which is absolutely fantastic. Three sisters here, Bernadette, Mary, Siobhan from Tyrone.
Hi, I'm Bernadette. I actually live in Ashbourne, County Meath, and I...
Okay. Well, you hate them that much, do you?
Well, and I live in Cookstown.
Okay. Does that, well, that's Tyrone, isn't it? Yeah, I know my geography.
You got any?
I live outside Cookstown.
I'm Mary.
Mary. Siobhan. And what do you not like about Bernadette that you sent her to live in Ashbourne? You're going to see Shania Twain. Two tickets for you, Bernadette. Two tickets for Siobhan. And there we are. And two tickets for Mary. Bernadette, Mary, Siobhan. Where is Oliver? Oliver? Oliver?
How's it going?
Oliver.
How are you?
Oliver.
How are you?
Oliver.
The name's Bond. Oliver Bond. I work for Garda Intelligence. No, I don't. There's a lot of things you don't know about me. For instance, me dad's from Iceland, and my ma was from Cuba. That makes me an ice cube. Growing up, I always felt a bit deprived. I was never my ma's favourite, which was a pity, because I was an only child. We were poor. No, we were poorer than that. One day I found my ma counting out the copper coins on the kitchen table when she started shouting and crying for no reason. I thought to myself, she's going through the change. I left home when I was 16. My ma said, don't forget to write. I thought, that's unlikely. It's a basic skill, isn't it? Anyway, I'm a man of great depths, and I'm fairly wide as well. Women have always been attracted to me, and not just the obvious good looks. You see, apart from a well-toned body, I've got a smooth tongue. I shave it every morning. Yeah, I've always had a way with words when it comes to making women feel great about themselves. I remember where I first met the missus. It was in Spain, at a castanet class. We clicked immediately. We were very happy for 20 years, but that was before we met. The first time I saw her, she was picking her teeth. Then she went ahead and bought them. I remember the day we got married. As we signed the register, she said, put your hand on top of mine and remember this moment, Oliver, because it's the last time you'll ever have the upper hand. On our honeymoon, when we got to the hotel, the porter said, can I carry your bag to the room? I said, no need, son, she's well able to walk herself. She started to let herself go, so I bought her one of them beauty mud packs. And to be fair, she looked good for a couple of days. Then the mud fell off. At the moment, she's on a 30-day diet. So far, she's lost 15 days. She said, Oliver, what are you going to buy me for my birthday? I want something shiny that goes from 0 to 150 in 3 seconds. So I bought her a bathroom scales. Anyway, things haven't been too good for me. No, I lost my job in the Secret Service due to the recession and budget cuts. Yeah, had to try and get another job. I'll say one thing about the recession, though. It got me back on my feet. Yeah, the bank repossessed my car. I tried everything. I did. I got a job as a postman. Well, it was better than walking the streets. I worked as a trampoline salesman, on and off. I even wrote a mystery thriller. Or did I? Even my love life was in trouble. There was nothing happening. Till one night, the wife arrived up in the bedroom with a set of jump leads. I said, don't start at them. I got a bit down on myself, so I went to see the shrink. I told him I felt like a worthless dog. He told me to get down off the couch. He told me to watch me drinking. So from then on, I only drink in front of the mirror. I said, listen, pal, I'm in a lot of pain. Any chance of using the chloroform on your desk? He said, sure thing. Knock yourself out. Anyway, I made a full recovery. I got my old job back. And I now specialise in financial espionage. Oh, yeah. Even Pascal Dunhu. Oh, yeah. He looks for my advice. Oliver, he says, what am I going to do about the finance bill? I told him he should pay it. He said, we're facing Armageddon. I said, it's not the end of the world. He sat there sobbing quietly. I said, Pascal, use a megaphone for crying out loud. Anyway, I got to go now. But before I do, here's a bit of advice from a man of the world. Always look out for number one and try not to step in number two.
And we'll be back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And we have to say goodbye from Belfast, from the wonderful Titanic Hotel. We cannot thank them enough. They've been absolutely fantastic to us. And the Belfast audience, you're the best Belfast audience we've had this year. And remember, you have your new glider buses. And a glider bus is only half a Lewis, dressed up, trying to be pretending to be a Lewis. You're a very brilliant audience. Thank you so much. On sound, Gar Duffy, Damien Gavigan, Kieran Cullen, Tommy O'Sullivan, Black and Donnybrook, producer Nadine Maloney, and from Belfast, good afternoon.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.